You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Tuesday, November 24th, 2020. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com, and today our episode is brought to you by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season is different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. On today's show, I wanted to take a look at the future of the New York Jets. The 2020 season has six games left in it, and there is not much drama. There are really only two things that people are focusing on right now. One of them is whether the Jets will be the third team in NFL history to finish a 16-game schedule with an 0-16 record. They are six losses away from that. You know, if you're asking me what I think is going to happen, I still think the Jets get a win or two. It's just really, really hard to finish 0-16. Now, you know, if there's any team that could do it, it's the team we've watched this year. But you need to have a lot of unlucky things happen to you to finish 0-16. And you're starting to see the Jets play a little bit better now that they've gotten healthy in some key spots, particularly the receiving core. So, you know, my guess is still no. I don't have a ton of conviction, though, in that projection. I mean, would I be shocked if the Jets did go 0-16? No, I would not be shocked. The other major source of drama is whether the Jets will finish with the top overall pick, which likely would lead them to draft Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence and, you know, start another new era in this franchise. So most of the focus is on the future, because even when we're talking about the drama, one of the two pieces of drama is basically whether the Jets will be able to draft a certain player. So I wanted to take a look at some of the opportunities and some of the challenges the Jets face going forward. And I wanted to begin by talking about the coaching situation. And look, if Adam Gase comes back, then we're just wasting our time. I said this last year. I think I may have even said it when they hired him. It just feels like, it felt at the time like every day Adam Gase here was just a waste. It was every day that Adam Gase was here was a day the Jets were not moving forward. It was a day the Jets are not making progress. Another day wasted where the Jets are not building a potential winner. And I still feel that way. I think that this year has been a total waste of time. I don't think the Jets have built anything, and I think a lot of that has to do with Adam Gase still being here. And I think you have to presume at this point that he is going to not be the coach next year. And if he's the coach next year, then we're just going to keep wasting our time. And we'll, you know, you can just essentially save this show for a year from now, or 2 years from now, or whenever Adam Gase eventually gets fired. But I do think that Gase is going to be fired. The Jets will begin a coaching search within the next few weeks. I presume now that we're through the bye week that the Jets are going to wait until the season's over. You know, maybe they'll do it a week or two before the end of the season, but I don't think Adam Gase is going to be here next year because there's no real rationale to bring him back. I think Christopher Johnson, if he had any sort of case that he could make to bring Gase back, Gase would be back. There's no case to be made, though. You know, last year you had that 6-2 run against the bad schedule where the Jets got a lot of breaks going their way, and it was a mirage. It was a complete mirage, but it was enough that Christopher Johnson could make a credible argument that the team was moving in the right direction. There will be no such thing this year. So the Jets will, I think, likely be looking for a new head coach. That brings us to who they get. And I think that there are some challenges and some opportunities for the Jets as they look for a new head coach. And I see two major challenges here. This is assuming they keep Joe Douglas around, which I would be surprised if Joe Douglas was fired after this year. I mean, Joe Douglas really has not. I mean, if they fire Joe Douglas, it's really a case where a guy did not get a fair chance to build the team. And that sometimes that happens in the NFL. You know, sometimes it does happen where you don't give a guy a fair chance and it's the right move. you know, I understand, you know, there's a rationale. There would be a rationale behind not bringing back Joe Douglas. If there was a, you know, a big time coach, everybody always uses the comparison of Bill Parcells coming in 1997, where Parcells came specifically because he wanted, say, over personnel. If there was a coach, and I don't love using that comparison because, first of all, it's the comparison everybody uses. But second of all, I don't know that there's a Bill Parcells kind of coach out there. I don't know if there's a Hall of Fame coach waiting for an opportunity like the Jets to come around the way there was in 1997 when Bill Parcells came to the Jets. If you're in a situation like that, I mean, I don't think Joe Douglas should come in the way of hiring that coach. You know, I think, you know, unfortunately for Joe Douglas in that situation, I think you would have to move on. But short of that situation, you're going to find yourself with an incumbent general manager, and that could rule some coaches out. You know, there are some coaches who are going to want to have more of a say over personnel. And the way the Jets are structured is pretty clear that they want a general manager in charge of personnel, and they want a head coach in charge of the day-to-day operations. And those two guys are going to have to work well together. The coach is going to have to make it clear to the general manager the types of players that the coach needs to work within his system. And the general manager is going to have to go out and get good players for the coach. You know, I think one of the mistakes you make sometimes is you view these as separate entities when these are guys who really need to complement each other well. That said, having a general manager here who's been established, who's here for 2 years, I think it makes it, you know, it limits the pool of coaches you're going to be able to get. I don't think there's any question about that, because there are some coaches who are going to want to come in and run their own operation. And I think that if Joe Douglas is around here, you're not going to be able to get one of those guys. That doesn't necessarily mean that you are destined to make a bad hire. There are plenty of coaches who will not demand that kind of power, who can be successful, who can probably work with Joe Douglas if Douglas shows that he can find the right players. But it is a bit of a challenge as you're trying to fill the job. The second issue, and this is, I think, a more pronounced issue, is the ownership situation with the Jets. There are so many issues right now with ownership. I mean, first of all, is Woody Johnson going to be back in time for this hire to be made? I mean, nobody really knows what the time frame of Woody Johnson coming back is, because, and one of the things is, you know, the way this time frame has lined up makes it a challenge, because it could be as late as January 20th before Woody Johnson gets back. And that's at a point where you should be deep within your interview. So it's possible Woody Johnson comes back on January 20th and the Jets are trying to finalize their interviews. And then who knows what happens? Who knows what Woody's opinions are going to be? You know, you don't know who the owner is going to be. That's going to be a major problem. And as far as I know, like when you're talking about coaches in the NFL, when they look for jobs, one of the biggest things they look at is the ownership situation. And they want to know who they're going to be able. They want to know who they're going to work for. If you go all the way back, you know, 20-21 years, one of the biggest reasons Bill Belichick left the Jets and went to New England is he had no idea who the owner was going to be here. And you're in a situation where, you know, if you're interviewing coaches, they may look at this situation. If Chris Johnson's here and you're expecting Woody Johnson to come back in a few weeks, and we don't know exactly what the time frame is for Woody to come back, but, you know, if you're in a situation where, you know, maybe Woody comes back a little bit earlier, maybe Woody comes back specifically at the end of the season, you know, week 17, that would at least clarify some things. That at least would make it clear what the structure of the Jets is. But even if Woody Johnson comes back at the end of week 17, the Jets are still going to have to figure out what their new structure is going to be. What role is Chris Johnson going to have? It creates obstacles. I think it's going to make things a little bit more difficult, because I'm not sure the Jets fully know who's going to be, you know, what everybody's role is going to be. And if you're a head coaching candidate in this league, this is just stuff I've heard, is you want to know who you're going to work for. And not only that, I mean, the Johnsons have shown that they are erratic owners. These are not guys who have shown they have a track record of building stable, successful franchises. If you look at what they've done, I mean, if you're a first-time head coach in the NFL, and you know you may only get one shot at this, are the Johnsons the guy you're going to want to sign? Are the Johnsons the guys you're going to want to sign up with? I think ownership is a big obstacle right now, and it will be as the Jets search for a new head coach. That said, I think there are some opportunities this job could present, and we're going to talk about them here on the Locked On Jets podcast. Taser's line of non-lethal self-protection devices are small and lightweight enough to carry with you or in your glove compartment or purse. They use an electrical charge to immobilize attackers for up to 30 seconds, allowing you time to escape and send emergency dispatch to your GPS location. Taser devices come loaded with features like laser-assisted targeting and emergency dispatch, which will send response teams to your GPS location upon firing. Taser is available without a permit in most U.S. states. Get the Taser Pulse Plus or Taser Strike Light at Taser.com with promo code NFL. Save 15% now at Taser.com, promo code NFL. Spelled T-A-S-E-R.com, promo code NFL. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Locked On Jets podcast on this Tuesday. Today we are looking ahead at the future of the New York Jets. In the first segment, we talked about some of the challenges the Jets may have as they embark upon a coaching search. However, I do think that there are some positives that they can sell potential coaches on as we look forward. And I guess the first one's kind of obvious, and it does depend on how the final six games of the season go, but there's a very good chance the Jets are going to end up with the top pick. And even if they don't, it's not quite guaranteed, but they're probably going to end up with the number two pick if they don't end up with the number one pick. So you're talking about the opportunity to get either Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. And I think at this point, the odds are probably higher on Lawrence because Jets are sitting in a position where they would have the top overall pick if the season ended today. And I think that that's a big deal because you're giving any coach you hire an opportunity to have his quarterback. And, you know, I talked about in the first segment about the importance of ownership, about how that might be the most important factor as coaches look at situations. I think the second most important factor, though, might be having a quarterback you feel you can grow with. And not only that, but having a quarterback who would be beginning his rookie contract, and we've talked about this plenty on the show through the years, maybe the biggest advantage in the NFL teams have is the quarterback in his first 4 years in the league, because you get quality quarterback play, but you get it at a big discount, which allows you to spend your cap space that normally would go to paying your quarterback a lot of money. That cap space can go to building up the rest of your roster. So it is a good situation potentially to be in. And not only that, but I think there's a second big opportunity for a team like the Jets. It's the cap space that they have. And I know you might be rolling your eyes because we've heard this story before about the Jets having a lot of salary cap space. And we know that salary cap space alone does not build a winning team. But there are some things that are different this time. First of all, we don't have Mike Maccagnan anymore. And we don't know that Joe Douglas is going to be able to spend cap space effectively. You know, if you look at his signings this offseason, they have not been that great. But I think you also have to note that the Jets' strategy in 2021 is going to be different than their strategy in 2020. You know, 2020, they did not really make, you could just tell based on what they were doing. They tried to make a few short-term Band-Aid signings. They tried to maybe find some guys on the cheap who they hoped could give them value, but they weren't really building this thing up for this year. I think Joe Douglas understood that the team was nowhere close to where it needed to be. Now, that did not mean Douglas needed to miss on as many signings as he missed on, and I think you'd be totally fair if you said you're not totally sold on Joe Douglas being able to spend this money effectively based on what happened in 2020, because there have been some signings that have not worked out. At the same time, though, This was clearly kind of a reset type of year. This was not a year where the Jets were going all in. And to Douglas's credit, you know, they did not, you know, Chris Johnson may have fallen for the 6-2 finish. If you look at the way Douglas approached this offseason, he did not fall for the 6-2 finish because the Jets did not spend big in free agency thinking that they were close to a playoff berth. They realized the fundamental issues with the team. But that said, this is an opportunity if you're a coach to come into a roster and know that their resources are there to really turn this thing around quickly. And not only that, but Jets also have a lot of draft capital going forward after the Jamal Adams trade. So that's another positive going. You know, essentially, if you take over as a coach, you know that you're going to a team that has nothing, but you know that you're going to a team where you're going to have an opportunity to really shape things. The fact that Jets have nothing could also be viewed as a plus because it means that you essentially have a blank slate to work with. You don't need to get rid of somebody else's players. you know, you don't need to rework a team within an existing infrastructure. You have a chance to mold your own team. And that could be a plus for the Jets as they look for a new head coach. Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do. Break through your wall, whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Go every day. It's easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages. You can put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, your golf bag to power through the back nine, or put it in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. It comes in 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED and you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D, for 20% off at BuiltGo, BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Locked On Jets podcast on this Tuesday. On today's show, we are talking about the future of the Jets, in particular, the coaching search that many of us are expecting and reasons that people should be optimistic, reasons people should be pessimistic, you know, challenges the Jets face, opportunities that exist. But there are also some unknowns, and I'm going to spend the final segment talking about those unknowns. And I think more than anything, the unknowns are the young players on this roster. I think the perception across the NFL right now is that the Jets roster has pretty much no young talent, and I think it's a challenge. I don't think that this is a Jets roster that's currently overflowing with young talent, but I think over the last few weeks, we've started to see that it's possible that there might be a little bit more to work with than we thought. You've seen Quinn and Williams start to really make an impact on the interior of the defensive line. You have Foley Fatukasi, who is developing into a really solid role player. You know, he's probably never going to be a star level impact player, but going to be a guy who does his job very well. And then you look at this rookie class, and I think by pretty much any measure, Mekhi Becton has been ahead of schedule. I think one of the most important roles to fill on any team is the franchise left tackle. You want a guy you can trust to hold up one-on-one. And it looks like, you know, it's still early, and there might be some concerns about some of the injuries he suffered this year. You know, is this going to be a situation where he's constantly dealing with injuries? We don't know, but I think there has to be a lot of optimism about the future of Mekhi Becton. Over the last few weeks, Denzel Mims finally returned to the lineup. There was lots of frustration in the fan base about Mims early in his rookie season, because he could not get on the field because he was dealing with hamstring injuries. As I said at the time, I felt like some of those criticisms were probably premature, probably a little unfair, in part because almost everybody on the Jets has suffered a hamstring injury at some point this year, beginning in training camp, and Mims is back. And I think the biggest issue with Mims is just that it feels like the Jets play callers forget that he exists for like a half every week. Seems like, you know, there's one half where Mims goes out there and plays great every week, and then the Jets go away from him. Or the reverse of that in the case of Sunday, where the Jets just ignored him for the first half and then finally started to utilize him in the second half, and he started producing. You know, he went out there and made some big catches. I mean, he made some spectacular catches. And not only that, but even when he wasn't making catches, you could feel his presence because he was drawing some penalties. So, you know, Mims is starting to really look impressive. Ashton Davis has started to show some signs of life. You know, will the Jets get out of Bryce Hall over the final couple games this season? You know, that's not clear, but I think that at this point in time, you're probably more optimistic about the young talent on the Jets than you were a month ago, because you're starting to see some young players, first of all, get back into the lineup. I think part of the issue with this draft class was just that, you know, guys were not able to get on the field. But you're now starting to see some young guys contribute. And I don't want to read too much into this because we've been down this road before with the Jets. I mean, I remember Justin, you know, we were talking about Justin Burris looking promising, Elijah McGuire looking promising. The threshold is very low for young players, especially rookies who went outside the top two picks. But this year for the Jets, the top two picks both are starting to look really good. And there are signs of potential life when you're talking about guys who were picked in round three or lower. Now, listen, this is a Jets team that still needs a lot of talent. It still needs a lot of young talent. The even if everybody I mentioned turns into a plus for the Jets, they're still going to need more. What they have right now is not sufficient, but there might be a greater base than we originally thought. That will be determined, well, in part over the final 6 weeks. But if you start to see young talent playing really well for the Jets, I do think it would make a potential coaching opening more attractive. Anyway, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy our show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. I hope you have a great Tuesday, everybody. We'll be back again tomorrow to talk more Jets.